is the starting lineup on the new home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
James Cebulski, Perry Solkowski, and we are joined on the line by Sportsnet soccer analyst and resident hooligan, Craig Forrest. I'm kidding, Craig. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Really good, actually.
Yeah, and so you won the 2000 Gold Cup, and for me as a soccer fan, that was, we've talked about this a lot. I've pumped your tires enough about this over the last 18 years, but it was such a proud moment. How does this compare, like this announcement today for you?
Well, obviously winning that tournament, nothing really does compare, but I look at this opportunity for, you know, this generation and generations to come because of this, the focal point being the sport for really the next 8 years, really building up to it. It's a great opportunity, and I see, you know, it wasn't that long ago, most people would laugh at the fact that Canada was even in the conversation for hosting games in the World Cup. So it's an amazing achievement by everybody. Even the Canadian Soccer Association, they take a lot of flack, and rightly so. But they deserve a lot of credit. And also Victor Montaliani, who was the president of Canada, moved on to the president of CONCACAF. They did a lot of great work, and they put a really good bid together, and it was by far the strongest, and they deserve to win it by the technical committee and technical report.
Yeah, Craig, we just had Victor on from Russia, and overjoyed, and obviously said the best day he's ever had as far as his business life, because it was mocked when, you know, Canadians thought that they might be able to get the World Cup with the Canadian Pro League coming into place. And I know you've been on set all morning with your teammate from that Gold Cup win in 2000, Jason DeFosse. I think you guys would have hoped that would springboard more kids to playing it. But this really is the ultimate, isn't it? And with the Pro League coming, we're looking at 14-year-olds now, 15-year-olds. I go, now I have something to play for. We're going to be in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did hope that the Gold Cup would have more of an effect, but you know, you look at how the sport has evolved from the olden days right through the North American Soccer League, the Canadian Soccer League that did a really good job developing players just after '86, and we should have qualified in '94. There was only one spot available back then, so we really got kind of gypped in '94. And the expansion of teams into 48 now. It really will give it exposure that we've never seen in this country. We know from a participation level, you know, there's nearly a million kids participating in the sport. 95% of them are doing it for recreation, which is brilliant. But there'll be a few that would like to move on and have the opportunity and fight for a position with the Canadian national team. That's going to inspire them like nothing we've ever seen before. Then we moved on to the Major League Soccer. Remember that too, you know, when Toronto got the team and Vancouver and Montreal, that's a big stride for us. Even Toronto winning the Major League Soccer title last year, and not many Canadians involved, but there are some, and developing more, and that'll be the model moving forward. So we've taken some baby steps along the way, but we're getting somewhere, and the popularity is there. We just need to step it up to another level that we can actually compete on the world stage.
Does it help that the men's team now has a face? We joke all coverage of the Whitecaps how we couldn't speak to Alfonso. Carl Robinson wanted to keep him away from everybody. And then they prayed him out on the biggest stage in the world. And the 17-year-old kid hits a home run with a passionate speech about becoming a Canadian. Does it help? And boy, talk about pressure. That Alfonso just might have to now be the face for the next 8 years of Canadian soccer. And at least we can now relate to someone.
Well, Alfonso Davies, yeah, what a wonderful story. And really, when he walked up on the stage there, he went up with a ton of confidence for a 17-year-old. And, you know, and seeing what, you know, where he's come from and where he's at right now, I thought he was fantastic, and he delivered a fantastic opening remark. So congratulations for him on that. He will be the face whether he likes it or not. Carl Robinson and the Whitecaps, and wherever he ends up one day, there'll be a certain amount of protection needed. We've seen players, not so much Canadian players, that show this much talent or this much potential in the past. Very few, but there has been a few. We've seen how that can just fade away really quickly with youngsters. So we have to sort of curb our enthusiasm and certainly keep him level-headed, which he certainly seems to be at this present moment. He's got a great family and support system there. So he's got a lot to live up to, obviously, but he's going to be the player people look at to be the potential star for 2026, and that's a lot of weight to bear for a 17-year-old.
Craig Forrest with us here on Sportsnet 650. What sort of investment are we looking at now for, you know, Canadian men's soccer going forward here? Because it's 8 years away. Now we know this is looming. Obviously, you know, to try to find anything close to compare for anybody listening right now, we could look back to when, you know, the International Olympic Committee awarded the Winter Games to Vancouver in 2003, and then there was the 7 years. Okay, now we got to spend. Now we got to invest in coaching. What does this look like now from a Canadian soccer standpoint here, Craig?
Well, they're going to have to look at that, obviously. We hope that they can build some sort of center of excellence and put some money into real development and get an age group of players that they know are going to be the ones that will be peaking in 2026 and deal with that and program it accordingly. John Herdman will be right behind that. I think he's a brilliant guy to do it as well. He's an intelligent, smartest guy in the room most of the time, and he'll be looking at that already, and now they've got the World Cup even more so. So the support from the corporate world will also, this can only help. I know the major tournaments, they do quite well, the Canadian Soccer Association, no problem getting support there. It's on the slow years, but with 8 years to build toward this, I think that there'll be some corporate support there to say, listen, let us get involved, give us some exposure, but we'll also give you the resources you need to make this happen. And, you know, we go back to 2002, even when you looked at South Korea, how well they did, they basically closed the league down there and had a traveling team that went to all sorts of competitions, including the 2000 Gold Cup, which we competed against them with. So even though they weren't the world's best team, they certainly were a good team, and a team in all sense of the word, they competed pretty well with a couple of decent referee decisions as well. But beside that, they competed well. So there's no reason why we can't as well.
We will know who the world's best team is in about 5 weeks. Spain is always in the conversation, yet they just fired their coach within the last 24 hours. What does that do to their side, and how shocked were you with the move they made?
Well, I was really shocked, to be honest with you, at this stage. We knew he was going to take over Real Madrid, but we didn't see this coming at this stage of the game for Spain. The players are well rehearsed, no matter who comes in. They won't change much as far as that goes. They know what they're doing. They've already been coached and very well coached in that manner. They've been brilliant in qualifying as well. So I don't really worry about Spain from that standpoint. I think the players are too good and too, you know, a group of leaders on that side that they'll be able to cope with that. Although the tournament is going to be tough regardless.
Who's the winner?
You know, I it's hard to go past Germany for me, even though there's maybe individual spots, but when you look at the strength and the depth, and they didn't even take Sané with them, which was incredible, and last year in the Confederations Cup, it's only the Confederations Cup, but Joachim Löw, the coach, was somewhat criticized for only taking a B or C team to it, and ended up winning, and some of those players have shown that they're going to be knocking on the door for the national team in this World Cup, too, so previous winners playing in Europe, Germany is pretty hard for me to go past. But once you get to the knockout stages, you know, you need a little bit of luck.
Some feel Brazil, by the embarrassment 4 years ago, that will be the motivator. Do you buy into that, or you just have to go, hey, Brazil always has an opportunity?
You know, Chichi, the new coach, you know, in less than 20 games has turned this team right around. And that, in 2014, was a disaster. Everybody knows it. They've proven, though, that they have the talent to rebound from that, and they've proven it. And like Germany, you know, neck and neck, those are the two favorites for sure. And I could see them, you know, with Neymar wanting to really stamp his authority on a World Cup and the talent that they have as a supporting cast. Brazil, obviously, brilliant and have rebounded well.
Craig, appreciate you doing this. As you mentioned, when you get to those knockout rounds, you definitely need a little luck on your side, either that or maybe just a really hot goalkeeper, right? Right? I mean, you could speak to that, right?
And with you know what? I will stand to that, but you always have to have somebody to put the ball in the back of the net.
Well, Craig,
and if you got somebody who could do that, you got yourself a chance and a good goalkeeper.
You got a Sobolski, you got a Sulkowski on this show, so do you know Poland. It's all Poland all the time out in Vancouver on the morning show?
No, nice chatting to you guys.
Sportsnet 650.